We're here to make a dent in the universe, or else why are we even doing this?
If I don't think I cut out with the fun stuff, because that to me is the fun stuff.
Build that audience, because if you've got no one to sell it to, then it's just going to flop and die, and no one likes a floppy, right?
I'm yet to meet a woman who just kind of grew up confidently in her body.
Welcome to my podcast. I'm Nicole Bremner. Join my weekly conversations with really interesting people as I delve into the stories and experiences that make them uniquely them. Hello, everyone, and hi, Lucy, and welcome to another episode of my podcast. So we've got Lucy Noonan with us today, and Lucy has 20 years of experience in lettings and estate agency, working with some huge names such as Bellevue, LSL, Hunters and the Lomond Group. Prior to forming Atomic, Lucy was responsible for M&A activity for some of the biggest names in the industry. And now she brings this wealth of experience to Atomic's growing customer base. Welcome, Lucy. Now, first of all, what does Atomic Consultancy do?
So we are an acquisition specialist specializing in the sale of lettings and estate agency businesses nationally. We are a broker, so we will sell businesses. We also offer independent project management expertise from a buy side. So if a buyer has ever bought an acquisition or needs some support in terms of that transactional process and the integration of that business, we also offer that as a seller from a buy side. But we would never obviously work on the same transaction as a buyer or seller. We only ever would work for one or the other.
Sure. So it is, if anyone is looking to buy or sell, even prepare themselves for the buying or selling process, that's something that you can work with clients and do. So tell me about your background, Lucy, because you have, as I said in the intro, over 20 years of experience. So tell us how you got to this point.
Yeah. So I think for people that have worked in agency, I think someone always says it's not a career of choice. I think you fall into it. And that pretty much was my kind of, a week after my 16th birthday, I used to do cricket tees for the owner at that time of Hunter's estate agent. And he asked if I wanted to be a negotiator on a weekend. And that was kind of where my career started in estate agency and lettings. Done various different roles, worked for independents, large corporates. And most notably, I was at the Bellevue Group. So I launched estate agency as a product offering across the franchise network there. But then nearly for the last 10 years, I've worked in acquisitions. So I was started off in the project team in LSL. So acquiring businesses across the country for brands such as Your Move, Reeds, Rains, and then their London brands. So Marsh & Parsons, Intercounty, Goodfellows, Halls & Co, JMP, etc. And then I moved to an equity funded company called the Lomond Group. And again, my job there was to, we grew very quickly. We did 19 acquisitions in just 10 months. The largest being 18 million, and then all the way down to asset purchases at around 150. I saw a massive gap in the market, I think. As a buyer, I was seeing the other brokers in the industry presenting businesses for sale. And as a broker, we value on turnover, but as a buyer, you value on profit because you want to see what profit you can generate from that business. So that's where I could see something different that we could offer. It was because I have been a buyer. So I know how to also value on that side. Also just the presentation of businesses and helping support sellers to get ready for sale. That is a big thing that, again, I felt that was missing. So yeah, it took a really brave step, you know, walked away from a very secure role. And I remember sitting around the table with my husband thinking we've got 3 months worth of money to survive. So it was a massive, massive risk. I think COVID helped in a way. So launched 2 years ago. And my aim was to do 12 acquisitions in my first year, so one a month. And we've just finished our year end for the second year in October, and we've done 74. So it's gone a little bit more than what I had anticipated. I have put a lot of weight on as a result. but now I've got a team of, and yeah, we're, you know, it's just fantastic. You know, I'm so passionate. I love what I do. It's just something that I really just found my niche, and I just absolutely love it. So yeah, it's definitely been a journey, but an exciting one.
Yeah, that enthusiasm for what you're doing really shines through, and especially in the discussion that we had prior to deciding to do this podcast. Before we get on to the valuation I want to ask you a little bit more about some of your experiences. Obviously, you can't talk in too much detail about things that were confidential, but if you can just talk to us about some of your experiences working in agency. And I should also add that this is live. If you would like to ask any questions of Lucy or make any comments, please do post those and we will try and get through all of those. So yeah, Lucy, what were some of the standout experiences that you had, either good or bad, within that agency life?
So I love the industry that we work in. I'm really passionate about it, and particularly women in estate agency. I am a committee member of that, and really wanting to empower the women in our industry, but also to support kind of the differences that there has been historically in our sector. So I think for me, from an experience perspective, sometimes that promotion didn't come as quickly for others compared to my peers. I did see that quite challenging. I do think that is massively changing now. I'm really proud that shift is happening. But I definitely think, you know, just as an example, when I was working for one of the larger organisations as a buyer in acquisitions, I went to the city, we were negotiating a multi-million pound deal, and the corporate solicitors around the table thought that I was my boss's EA, didn't realise that I was the acquisitions director, which was fine. They asked me to make cups of tea and take minutes. And it was only after 15 minutes of having the introduction that they realised that actually, no, I was the one that had negotiated the deal. But, you know, I have got a big personality. I wear flat shoes because heels slow me down. You know, I wear a rucksack because, again, I go at one pace only. So, you know, I'm probably not the traditional corporate finance acquisition broker that people sometimes are used to. But that's something that I'm really proud of, because you can have a big personality, but you can be professional. And I think a big part of our success at Atomic is because as a team, we are friendly and approachable. Because for a lot of people, they've never sold a business before and they don't know even where to start. And sometimes they love it more than their family because it's something that is so personal to them. You know, it can have their name as the business. So to deal with that with not just professionalism, but care is really important. And I think that was sometimes where I did struggle sometimes with when I was employed, was the larger the acquisition, the less emotion was attached to it. And we're not buying a product. You know, we're not buying, you know, a stationery company or, you know, an MOT company. We're buying people, in effect. You know, we're buying landlords. We're buying tenants, you know, we're buying vendors, and we're buying the staff in that business. It's a service industry. And, you know, if you don't deal with an acquisition in that respect and integrate it correctly and you lose the staff, you'll probably lose a large part of the business that you've actually acquired. So it is really important, I think, to see that it isn't just about a transaction. It's actually about a relationship that you're taking on.
And if you have a lettings agency or an estate agency and are looking to sell, what is the right place to start that process?
Yeah, so really good question. The simple answer is numbers. So, and it sounds silly, but for the way in which a business is valued in our sector, it's very much driven by the guaranteed residual income that you get from your managed commission book or your rent collect. So what you get every single month, regardless of changes in climate, you know, you charge a rent of £1,000 and you charge 10%. So you get £100 every month. What is that on the last 12 months? But then also looking underneath as well at what is your other residual income? So do you offer contractor commission? Do you offer insurance premiums? Do you know, what is your let only? What is your sales? And for a lot of businesses, that can be quite a big exercise to do. But if you're going to sell a business, you need to understand your numbers. That is absolutely key. And you need to be able to evidence as well that those numbers are accurate through accurate management accounts. So we see a lot of businesses at the moment that have got great CRM systems, but they don't actually use it to the best of its ability. So first and foremost, if you are looking to exit, is definitely get your numbers sorted. And also look at doing what we call reverse due diligence. So a buyer is going to look underneath the bonnet of your business and want to see if there's any issues or concerns. So you can do that yourself as a seller before you go to market. We do that and help that as a service, but you can do it yourself. You know, have a look at all of your compliance. Are you regular? Have you got the right gas safety certificates? Is everything up to date? You know, EICRs, have you got all of those correctly done? Have you got terms of business signed for your landlords? You know, all of these things. And also, does your client account reconcile? There's a lot of things that you can do that you can get prepared for before you start the process. But I always say to everybody, if there's only one takeaway, it's just make sure you know your numbers. Because if you don't and you start having conversations, you're on the back foot in comparison to the buyer, because the buyers know how they're valuing and what they want. So for you as a seller, you need to be ready and prepared and know what you're talking about.
What about goodwill? Does that have any value in these sorts of transactions?
I would love to say yes, but no. Unless you have a brand like Ludlow Thompson that sold to Foxtons a couple of weeks ago, that had a brand value because it's a really strong brand in London. Chesterton's that just sold to a French equity funded company recently, that did have a brand value, that did have goodwill because Chesterton's is a national well-known brand in London. Unless you've got a 4 to 6 branch network in an area and you are consistently the market leader, then potentially there can be a value to that brand. But if you are only in one area or at a small, it isn't the value of the brand and the goodwill, it is just not calculated as in other sectors, unfortunately.
Does that mean pure estate agency businesses struggle to have, value against a letting agency which has this residual income?
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's some great estate agents out there that have got great market share. But it's not necessarily sometimes that buyers aren't interested in estate agency, it's funders. And the reason why funders don't like estate agency is they don't like to see the peaks and troughs that we have. So like just as an example today, potentially they're alluding to the stamp duty cut. So that could then make a flurry of estate agencies. So we've seen the highs in estate agency through COVID, then we can see the drops. So funders don't like this up and down movement because it's volatile and they don't know whether they're going to get their income, their money back. Whereas lettings, it's considerably more consistent and it should have a slow trajectory through organic growth. So from an estate agency perspective, the value probably has even lowered compared to years before. And really, it's only valued on the pipeline and the available instruction register. Large estate agency businesses with turnovers of say 3 million plus, potentially you could get a value one based on what's called an earnout. So over a 2 to 3 year period, that business owner would have to stay in the business and agree a turnover of estate agency income, and they would apply a multiplier on that. But yes, unfortunately, estate agency businesses are not valued in the same way. And as an example, we do not sell pure estate agency businesses because there isn't a market for it. But we've got 7,000 buyers registered looking for lettings businesses. And we've only been going 2 years.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It just shows that there's such demand for them. Why do you think that is? What's the demand? Is it that you're buying an annuity income, a residual income?
I think for many money buyers, there's lots of different reasons, really. It's very difficult to organically grow a lettings business. It's very difficult to find landlords. So buying those in is easier. I think recruitment has become really challenging in the market. So getting good quality staff. So if they can see a business that already has a good, well-established team, that can be attractive. And also from an acquisition perspective, there's a lot of what we call adjusted EBITDA. So adjustments of profit that you can make as the new acquirer. So you don't need to pay, for example, for 2 CRM providers. You might not need to take on the lease. So they're all of a sudden, you know, telecoms, all of the stuff that's involved with the lease, that immediately would go down to the bottom line as profit because you were able to fold that into your existing organized, you know, your business. So, and the value of lettings businesses I always get asked the question, what is the value? And, you know, in nearly 10 years, the multipliers have slightly changed, but not massively. So it's still a really good way in which they can grow their business to then look at exit. So I've sold a business recently where I actually, they were buying businesses, and now we are, someone else is buying their business 10 years on. So, it is interesting.
And what is that multiplier? Can you share that? How to value the
actions every day. So it really does depend on where you are in the country. So it's all about supply and demand. So London is very, very active. So as an example, we launched one in Westminster 2 weeks ago. We've had over 19 people have met the seller, and we've had over 8 offers in 2 weeks, and it will close on Friday. And so very, very active. But we have sold a business recently in Cumbria. We realised that there's mainly sheep in Cumbria, not buyers. And we only had 2 meetings and one offer. So the value of a business in Cumbria is very, very different to the value of a business in London, where there's lots of buyers, lots of activity. So really, we're seeing from a turnover perspective that it can be anywhere between 1.6 times the managed income all the way up to potentially 2.1 at a push, 2.2 times. So that is very key, though, that is on the guaranteed residual income of rent collect and managed income. And then your let only and ancillary income is probably only about 0.5. And the reason for that is because it's not guaranteed. You're not consistently getting it every year. So buyers see that, well, I'm not going to buy that income because I'm not guaranteed I'm going to get it. And that's why lettings, residual income is where the value of your business is. So we consult with a lot of sellers when they're about to exit or looking at a 3-year exit plan, is we'll say to them, try as much as possible to get your let only stock at least moved on to rent collect, because then automatically that one property has gone from a 0.5% value potentially to a 2 times multiplier value, because you're getting an income from that property every single month. So sellers are saying to us, oh, well, that let only client's been with us for 20 years. It doesn't matter. So you need to make sure that you're consistently getting that income coming in every month.
It's interesting, because from an acquisition perspective, if you're just looking at a return on investment, you're better off buying that income stream in Cumbria for a cheaper price than the one in London that you're paying more for the same income.
Yeah, the values of there's the types of properties as well, the types of tenants as well is key. So, you know, for example, buyers that potentially will buy a student lettings business, they might want to keep that brand, because the brand difference of what they've got as a currently might not suit student. But yeah, I think as well, in particular areas, what we call like kind of the red brick areas, so Manchester, Leeds, Reading, there's also a lot of development happening there. So if you can grow and get into a really strong marketplace, then there's more opportunity as well, because there's more regeneration, more properties being built, which then also helps you growth.
So we've looked at the sales process, I guess. So the how you get your house in order, ready for the sales, and what the valuation might be. What about if you're interested in buying a lettings and estate agency? How can you help clients who are looking to do that? And then following on from that, how are acquisitions funded?
So from a buyer's perspective, firstly, if you're not registered with us, register with us, but be very clear with what your criteria is. So we get businesses, you know, we've got 7,000 registered in 2 years. So you can see the level of, you know, we'll get buyers saying to us, we're looking at lettings businesses in Yorkshire. Okay, great. You know, what is the size of the portfolio ideally that you're looking for? What is the funding capacity? You know, we've got one at 5 million or we've got one at 100,000. What exactly is it that is ideal for you? And is it the whole of Yorkshire, or is it Hull, or is it Sheffield, or ideally is it York, you know, etc. Being very specific with not just myself as a broker, but other brokers, being specific to your criteria will ensure that you will probably receive more businesses. What's also important as well, and I won't swear, but the key thing is if you're going to be a buyer, be professional about it. So we work with lots of sellers, and one of the questions that we always ask when we're about to launch our marketing plan, is there anybody that you don't want us to approach? And that's a really key question. And we have several buyers, in fact, probably every single one we've got through going at the moment, they probably all said one or two. And ironically, some of those buyers are probably the ones that are the most actively wanting to acquire a business. So don't try and steal people's marketing. Don't be unethical. Don't badmouth your competition. Because if you want to grow via acquisition, they are your competition that you're going to acquire. So I say it very often, Will Lindley, who was my last ever boss at the Lohman Group, he is a brand in Yorkshire, Lindley and Simpson. He grew his business up to, I think they've got about 40, 50 offices now in Yorkshire. They've grown solely via acquisition. And that's because over a 10-year period, Will has met with his competition, has been professional. When he's bought a business, he's paid the market rent. He's not tried to undercut them. He's paid the deferred consideration after 6 to 12 months. So, you know, and people laugh, like, Will has got Yorkshire wrapped up, because he has always just acted professional, honest. And, you know, as a buyer, he's a great buyer. So there are other buyers as well in Yorkshire, but he's got a reputation because he's been honest and professional. So if you are going to be a buyer, that's what I would mainly also suggest, because trying to be very, unfortunately, estate agents, we can be quite arrogant. But from a sales perspective, you know, this business is choosing a lot of the time to sell to you. You're not giving them a favor. And so I think that is what is really key. And leading on in terms of funding has definitely been a challenge this year, particularly. So we're passionate about selling to independent agents as much as we can, but that has shifted, unfortunately, in the last 6 months. So there are a variety of different ways in which you can fund an acquisition, particularly if you identify your own acquisition and it's not come through the routes of, like, via a broker. We can then, under an NDA, act on your behalf, and we can look at different funding solutions for you. So you can fund via cash flow. There are various different commercial lenders out there. We've done some equity funded deals. So we work with some equity funders that are wanting to buy into good businesses, wanting to grow, take equity in that business, and then provide a slush fund, basically, to go out and buy portfolios. There's various different ways in which you can fund an acquisition, but it is expensive. So that is where, you know, as a buyer, you need to be valuing the business on the profit that business is going to generate. Because if you are going to be paying, we've had some that have been paying like a 14% rate to buy a portfolio. And obviously we were acting for the seller, so I couldn't say, but I was thinking, that is a lot. But he saw the business as an opportunity, because the adjustment in the profit levels that he could make post-completion warranted that 14%. That is unusual. We're normally seeing it around about 8-9% at the moment in terms of commercial funding, but that is still expensive, you know, and it's a big commitment. So yeah, funding is probably one of the biggest challenges for independent agents at the moment.
What are some of the other challenges in the environment right now as far as buying and selling? And I guess the bigger question here is, what's the environment like? Is it a buyer's market? Is it a seller's market? How are you seeing things?
Really interesting, actually. It's very active at the moment. I think we're seeing quite a lot of what we class transformational acquisitions happening in the marketplace. And that, I think, is being alluded to the fact that there could be the general election next year. At the moment, there are tax benefits of selling a business. There's two ways in which you can sell a business. You can just sell the asset, so just the portfolio, as an example. Or you can sell via what's called a share sale. So you're acquiring the limited company and you're acquiring everything involved with that company as well. So at the moment, there are tax benefits of selling via a share sale. And if there is a change in government, it has been quite widely discussed that they will include extra tax, potentially CGT, into the sale of shares. So that could have a massive impact into the acquisition and merger space, because you could grow by 30% in the next 5 years, but actually it'll just be taken off you via additional tax. So we're seeing quite a lot of people at the moment looking to exit. We've also seen new buyers enter the market. So there used to be probably the large top corporates. There was three or four of them. I worked for two of them. They were the ones that were constantly buying. We are now working with some European funded companies. We're working with various different, so that particularly London is seen as a very attractive opportunity, and that's helped to drive value. So I think because of that as well, that has helped to increase some of the multipliers that we're starting to see. So it is a very busy time. One thing that we have started to see as well is people are putting rumours out all the time, and that's trying to flush, I think, conversations to be had. So, you know, that is disappointing to see. And for us as a business, we take confidentiality really seriously. If you're signing an NDA, that is a legal contract. Unfortunately, not many people do abide by those, and it's very difficult to enforce them because it's there safe. It's not written down. So again, we have to say to sellers, you do need to be prepared that if you do go to market, potentially, so there might be a rumour that gets out and you've just got to deny it. But it is very frustrating because this is a hugely important and confidential process for clients. And some people don't take it as seriously as they do. But for us, if we find out that someone has done that, we just don't sell to them. And we do have a black book, and there are a few people in there. But it's so important, you know?
Exactly. So I guess moving back to Atomic and you, Lucy, and you've built this amazing consultancy, and you're quite uncertain about taking this step. Clearly, you're so pleased that you've done it and you've grown your team. What's next for you in Atomic Consultancy?
Oh, gosh. I think it's, you know, starting a business. Although I've bought businesses for a lot and worked in the acquisition space, I've never been a business owner up until 2 years ago. So, you know, just got my corporation tax bill yesterday and nearly cried. I was like, really? And I suppose you're doing something right. But, you know, all of those things that it is learning. I think from a personal perspective, we've worked really, really hard the last 2 years. So I think definitely in 2024, working on more of a work-life balance. I don't think there is such a thing as work-life balance. But yeah, I think for us, a real focus is on London. It's taken a long time for us to enter into that market, but we're starting to really make roads now. So I think for us as a company, focusing on key areas where we know that there's a lot of demand for businesses. And we're potentially looking at launching another brokerage to a different sector, still in the property sector, but, you know, potentially looking at prop tech, conveyancing, financial services companies, but very much specified in that property. But we've got enough on at the moment. We've had to order another whiteboard because we've got too many deals going on. And I know I should use a CRM system, but I'm traditional and like everything in front of me. So we've got no more room for deals at the moment. So I think we're good for work.
Yeah, that's right. You don't need to expand at the moment. So if someone's listening now and is curious as to whether you would work with them, what is your ideal client?
So our ideal clients are, well, from a sales perspective, we very much need them to have at least ideally 50% of their turnover needs to be lettings. If it's under that, then really our advice would be that you would just sell the asset of that portfolio because of the demand for mainly estate agency businesses is low. And then on a buy side, we're very much there to help support you value a business, broker a deal. So we will look at businesses on behalf of being launched with another broker if we've not gone into exclusivity with somebody else. We'll sign a non-disclosure agreement and we'll look at that business for you, give you advice on the best way to offer, to structure, getting the funders in place. So very much we want to become part of your integral team as well. So, you know, we are parachuted in to be part of your business for that transaction. If you just want us on the sidelines, it's quite difficult for us to be able to give advice. So we're working with several buy clients at the moment, and we've done two or three acquisitions with them in the last 18 months. And their team now see us as an extension of their team. We're there working with them. We've got to understand what's going on, and we're down on the ground, you know, doing the consultations post completion. So very much on the buy side, if you do genuinely have a strong strategic growth plan, we're here to help support you to get to that. So, but very much based up, I think I've echoed it before, but on relationships.
Yeah, that's right. And how long are these transactions taking to get through from start to completion?
So it depends if it's an asset or a share, and it depends on where it is in the country. We do say to sellers, I think people think it's going to take a lot longer than it does. Average transaction times from launch through to completion is 12 weeks. So you agree a deal probably within the first 2 to 3 weeks. It will go into what's called heads of terms. That tends to take about 2 weeks, and then 8 weeks after heads of terms have been signed through to completion. Different complexities if there's more leases, if there's a premises involved, etc., etc. There's lots of different reasons. But again, some of the buyers are very quick. So we've sold one at 780,000. The deal was, we launched it 3 weeks ago, and it's going to complete in 2 weeks. So it's 5 weeks from the seller appointing their broker through. There's always a flurry of activity this time of year. And that's why if you do follow the industry press, you'll see a lot. It's because people's budgets are being defined for next year. So if they've had an acquisition budget and they've not spent it, they need to spend it so that they get the next budget for next year. So that's why this particular buyer is wanting it through, because he needs to spend his money, which I'm quite happy to spend it for him.
Yeah, exactly. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic, Lucy. Now, I appreciate that a lot of people listening, and there have been quite a few people, dozens of people watching this, but obviously it's a very sensitive issue and no one wants to put their name out there and say, hey, I'm interested in buying or selling. So on that basis, I suggest that people get in touch with you. And what's the best way to get in touch with you to discuss an acquisition or a sale?
Yeah, so my website is atomicconsultancy.com. You can inquire through there, and then myself or one of the team will get back to you. I am really active on LinkedIn as well, so just find me on LinkedIn and connect. More than happy to have a conversation. It is funny, we were at some of the large industry conferences over the last couple of weeks, and some of our clients were there, and they just ignore us and like wave, and then message me immediately afterwards saying, I'm really sorry, but I didn't want to come and say hi to you because I thought if I did, people would think I'm selling. And I'm like, well, you are, but I don't think anyone's going to be bothered. So I do get that all the time. Like, people like ignore me, and then straight away afterwards, well, then message. But I get it. This is, I do take confidentiality really seriously. So I appreciate people talking to me, then people are either going to think, oh, they're buying, or are they selling? So I get that.
Yeah, indeed. Lucy, thanks so much. It's fascinating to me. And I've always thought about the whole letting agency side of things and the residual income. So really informative. Thank you very much for your time, and thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please support us with a like, comment, subscribe, and share. And you can always join the conversation live across my YouTube, Facebook, and LinkedIn pages at 1 p.m. every Thursday. See you there soon.